Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job. Do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but when I saw that last night, I immediately said, oh, you can do that? I didn't know that was an option that was even on the table. Whether or not they actually go through with this, is it a Trump tariff kind of thing where he's like going to use it as leverage? I have no idea. But your reaction when you heard this yesterday?
My jaw dropped. My jaw dropped. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, maybe this is a way to stir the conversation to get something moving on Gaza because the status quo isn't working.
Ethan?
I think that I saw some pretty good memes about it. I saw a couple of pictures. It was like Gaza in 5 years, and it was like the exact same thing, except there was a Trump Tower, and there was a couple of like fast food restaurants.
Yeah. I think I've seen some of the same stuff.
But I mean, the thought of it is interesting. It was kind of one of those things like, can this actually happen? And seeing all of the work that he has done so far, it's one of those like, well, he's making so much happen quickly that it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. I don't know if it, it can happen, but if anyone could make it happen, it'd be him.
Yeah, this is just one of those that, when you asked before, you know, in the last 2 years or since October 7th, 2023, you would say, well, what is the solution? And nobody had one. And so when you hear somebody actually give a solution, even one that was not really one you were thinking would happen, you go, oh, let's listen and consider, because there have been no solutions. Because the solution, I have a lot of thoughts on this, and we'll get to them later. But the solution can't be, let's just do what we've always done. That's not an option. You can't just keep doing the same thing you've always done. You get the same results.
If you get the same results, that'd be a problem.
So Carolyn Leavitt is the White House press secretary. She is taking questions right now, and Brad has pulled
great
up.
To see you here today.
They've asked this question, actually.
On Gaza, the president has spent basically his entire public career criticizing foreign entanglements, nation building, sending American troops to fight abroad, particularly in the Middle East. This plan seems like it could ultimately involve all of those things. Can you explain this reversal and how building and owning Gaza squares with America First foreign policy?
I would reject the premise of your question that this forces the United States to be entangled in conflicts abroad. The president has not committed to putting boots on the ground in Gaza. He has also said that the United States is not going to pay for the rebuilding of Gaza. His administration is going to work with our partners in the region to reconstruct this region. And let me just take a step back here, because this is an out-of-the-box idea. That's who President Trump is. That's why the American people elected him. And his goal is lasting peace in the Middle East for all people in the region. And as I said in my opening remarks, we've had the same people pushing the same solutions to this problem for decades. And it's been made very clear to the president that the United States.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do we lose it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just go to Trump on this because I've got a little bit more audio from him.
Everybody's demanding one thing. You know what it is? Peace. We want peace. We want people to stop being killed. But everybody's demanding one thing. Very simple, peace. And he wants peace also.
All right, I think we got it back, so we're going to go back to Carolyn Leavitt.
To ensure stability in the region for all people. But that does not mean boots on the ground in Gaza. It does not mean American taxpayers will be funding this effort. It means Donald Trump, who is the best deal maker on the planet, is going to strike a deal with our partners in the region.
Because he did not rule out American troops in Gaza last night. Are you doing that now?
I am saying that the president has not committed to that just yet. He has not made that commitment, and you know that.
And on the foreign partners, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, the Saudis have already panned this plan. What foreign partners, if any, have expressed any interest in being part of it?
Well, the president has said he's been socialing this idea for quite some time. He's been thinking about this. He said in his remarks last night, this was not a decision or an announcement that he takes lightly. And the president has already spoken to the president, al-Sisi. In fact, that was his first foreign leader call. He's meeting with the King of Jordan, King Abdullah, next week. He spoke with the King of Bahrain. He spoke with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. And he has made it very clear. He's been very vocal that he expects our partners in the region, particularly Egypt and Jordan, to accept Palestinian refugees temporarily so that we can rebuild their home. I'd like to show you some images of Gaza that were taken. Fox News aired this. I mean, that is, as they put it, in an apocalyptic scene in Gaza. This is an uninhabitable place for human beings. Do you really think that families can live their dream in a region that looks like this, with no running water, no electricity? And the special envoy to the president, Steve Witkoff, recently traveled to Gaza, as you all know. And he came back with images that he showed the president of the dire situation here. And the president made this decision with a humanitarian heart for all people in the region.
Caroline.
Peter.
Thank you, Caroline. Are any officials here preparing to fight Democratic lawmakers in the streets?
Absolutely not.
So
thanks for the question.
Some elected Democrats are so steamed about Doge. Congresswoman LaMonica McIver says, we are at war. Mm-hmm. Ilhan Omar says, we might actually see somebody get killed. And Chris Van Hollen says, we have to fight this in the Congress. We have to fight this in the streets. So what now?
And may I just point out, If you heard that type of violent, enticing rhetoric from our side of the aisle, from Republican leaders on Capitol Hill, I think there would be a lot more outrage in this room today. It's unacceptable, the comments that have been made by these Democrat leaders, and frankly, they don't even know what they're talking about. Because President Trump was elected with a mandate from the American people to make this government more efficient. He campaigned across this country with Elon Musk, vowing that Elon was going to head up the Department of Government Efficiency, and the two of them, with a great team around them, were going to look at the receipts of this federal government and ensure it's accountable to American taxpayers. That's all that is happening here. And for Democrat officials to incite violence and encourage Americans to take to the streets is incredibly alarming, and they should be held accountable for that rhetoric.
It sounds like something that they're most concerned about is DOGE engineers with access to Treasury systems. Can you clarify? Do the DOGE engineers have read-only access in these systems, so they are not allowed to write new code?
No.
They are not. Okay.
No.
And then one more thing. NBC is reporting that some of the illegal immigrants that we've seen rounded up and arrested are not being deported. They're being released with ankle or wrist monitoring devices, or they have to check in on the phone. So is the administration arresting more people than you have room for?
I have seen the reports, and I'm glad you brought it up because we want to address it. There have been a total of 461 illegal aliens, this is of this morning when I got this information from DHS, that have been released from custody of the more than 8,000 that have been arrested since President Trump was inaugurated. It's less than 6%, and there are reasons for their release. Some of the factors include a lack of significant likelihood of removal in the foreseeable future, lack of detention availability, which is something this president and this administration has been incredibly vocal about. We are doing everything we can to deport and detain illegal immigrants, but we need Congress's help to increase funding for Border Patrol and for ICE to increase detention capability in our facilities. And then other serious medical conditions have also been the reasons for some of the release of these individuals. But none of them have final deportation orders. Many of them are probably contesting their immigration status. I'd refer you to DHS for more details, but I did get that information because I knew it would be a question. So thank you.
White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt there. That was a couple questions from Peter Ducey from Fox News. Before that, it was NBC News, wasn't it?
Yeah, Garrett Hake.
Garrett Hake from NBC News. So let's take these one at a time real quick here, because I thought there was a lot of information. Nice pull there, by the way, because there was a lot in that couple minutes. The first part about the questions about Gaza, I thought that was a good question from him about how do you actually plan on implementing this? Because that's the question that Trump is going to have to figure out, and Netanyahu and everybody else who's associated with this thing. How do you actually implement this if none of the surrounding countries are willing to take the refugees? That's a big, big question. And what her answer to that was, well, they're talking. So she's not saying, oh, no, no, you got this all wrong. She's saying, no, you actually have this right. Right now, they're saying no. We expect them to change their mind.
We expect them to say yes.
So we'll see. But that's, if it were anybody else, I'd go, eh, we'll see. It's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He tends to pull the right strings and get these things done.
Well, And to me, this is kind of like what I was saying. It's everything's stale. Everything's flat. When the soda's flat, sometimes you got to shake the bottle. And whenever he said, we're going to take Gaza, that shook the bottle. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that people, like, Twitter blew up. Everything blew up. The first question in today's press conference was on this Gaza thing. He's shaking the bottle. And I think he's doing that so that we can come to maybe some new ideas to find something different.
Well, people are commenting in the chat. I pulled up a comment from Dale that I thought was really good. And actually along the lines of what you're saying, Brad, he said, this is Trump's style. He's getting into the head of the other Middle Eastern countries, hoping Saudi, Egypt, and others will say, never mind, we'll clean it up and take the people. Trump hates perma-war. I think that's a very, very wise way of putting it, that he is actually not going to do exactly this, but he's going to, as with everything, it's the art of the deal. You come in big, and then you settle for half of what you were hoping to get with the big presentation, and then you got 50% more than you thought you were going to get. I mean, that's the way Trump does this over and over and over. And before we move on to the next question, I will say that my thoughts, you know, we've discussed this before on the show and said, in terms of immigration even, that the left really wants everybody, including the right, to think about this through the eyes of the illegal immigrant. And we said, fair, Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that. We can think about this through the eyes of the illegal immigrant. And we came to the conclusion that if my life were as bad as some of these people's lives, I'd look for a better life too. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it legal. That doesn't mean that you can't have good immigration policy.
Right.
It just means that looking at it through the eyes of the illegal immigrant is a fair perspective. What we were asking others to do, so we being the right, I guess, in this situation, asking the left to do, is that's fine. We can look at it through the eyes of the illegal immigrant. Can you look at it through anybody else's eyes? And the answer seems to be no. But can you look at it through the eyes of a parent who lost their daughter to an illegal immigrant? Can you look at it through the eyes of a legal immigrant?
Who did it the right way?
Can you look at it through the eyes of a community that's been overwhelmed by illegal immigrants and it's straining all their resources? Can you look at it through the eyes of a government? Can you look at it through the eyes of Mayor Eric Adams, who's trying to figure out what to do for New York City because he's so overwhelmed by it? Can you look at it through the eyes of anybody else? And that's what we're asking you to do. We'll do what you're asking. Can you do what we're asking?
Yeah.
That's a fair proposal.
Yeah, and like the deep understanding of this that I want my friends on the left to understand is you're not doing anybody, like, it feels good to help that immigrant because you heard their story and their story is very unfortunate and very sad. But whenever you take that person and you put them in a position like you did, New York City is a great example, where you have overstrained the resources, you've overflowed schools, you've like basically, I remember them taking parks away so they can build encampments for where people can live. When you overflow the resources and you cause hardship, not just for the immigrants that are fleeing what you say is hardship, you're causing hardship for your own citizens, and not normal hardship, like excessive hardship. You're not doing a plus positive or a plus. Yeah, it's not a positive on the morality front. You're actually being immoral and causing harm and causing more harm to everybody. Because you're motivated by the story. But you've also got to think about this from a logistical standpoint.
Look at it through anybody else's eyes. Really, not just, all we're asking is look at it through other lenses than just the one.
And the people that whose lenses you're looking at it through are not bad people for saying, hey, we can't do this.
The reason I even bring up that example is because I was trying to do the same thing with the Gaza thing. The left is saying, and not all the left, but the really far left, and there are even some people on the right, I think, who would say this. So it's very fair. We could really take red and blue off of this issue in a lot of ways. It's hard to do, but we'll try to, and say, okay, if the far left, and I'm referring to people like, for whatever reason, I follow John Cusack on Twitter. He is a huge proponent for Gaza. That's all he talks about, is the people of Gaza. Okay, if you're really that invested in protecting the people of Gaza, my assumption is you're asking me to look at it through their eyes. Even this issue, look at it through their eyes. Okay, fair. That's fine. I'll try to do that. Then if I'm going to do that, I'm not going to look at it. One thing I won't do is look at it through the eyes of Hamas, because Hamas is terrible and terrorist and evil, and they murder people for the sake of their race. These are awful people and a terrible ideology. I'm not going to look at it through the eyes of Hamas. So I'm assuming when you ask me to look through the eyes, you're asking me to look through the eyes of a civilian, an innocent bystander, a conscientious objector. I don't know that you're actually asking me that, but I'm going to assume the best and say that's what you're asking me to do, is look at it through the eyes of these sort of innocent people who've just been caught up in this system. The problem is the system indoctrinates people from the moment of birth into radical Islam. So what do you do if that's the prevailing ideology? How do you find those few people who are conscientious objectors, who don't want any of this Hamas stuff, who don't want to have anything to do with terrorism? Well, first of all, that's really, really tough. But then let's say that you can find some of them. And let's say it's just kids, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's the innocent kids, poor kids, they're being brought up in this. It's no fault of their own, but by the time they become adults, they have chosen that way of life. But when they're kids, they're not really choosing that. Okay, look at it through their eyes. Really, great. Then what's the best for them? That's my question. And this is really the question I think is the most important to be asking throughout this entire debate that maybe you're going to have at a bar this weekend. Maybe you're having it with your family. Maybe you're having it on social media. Whose eyes are you asking me to look at this through? Are you asking me to look at it through Hamas's eyes? Because that makes you bad. Don't ask me to do that. I will look at it through the conscientious objector, maybe the average citizen's eyes, who may not want to be a part of this, although I question how many of them there are. And I question, and I wonder if the answer isn't, wouldn't you want a fresh start? I mean, especially for kids.
Yeah.
If you put them right back in this situation again, you're going to get the same outcome. But if you don't, if you are going to change it, don't you want a new future? If you look at those pictures Carolyn Leavitt just showed, you weren't able to see it because you're listening to the radio, but you've seen pictures of Gaza. It is absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
And by the way, Gaza, if you're wondering, the Gaza Strip is about twice the size, I looked this up, as St. Louis City proper. So that's about how big it is, twice the size of St. Louis. So it's not a huge area, but it is basically gone. Like, they don't have hardly any shelter. They, like she said, they don't have running water. If your solution is, no, let's just keep them there, that's actually not really looking at it through their eyes at all. That's looking at it through your eyes, and you're casting your sort of preconceived notions. So, and again, there's a lot to this, and that's why I like listen to the experts and listen to people discuss it, because I think that is the point of this, is to be a conversation starter to a really, really difficult situation that doesn't have a easy solution. Otherwise, we would have already solved this thing. We're going a little long here. Wiggins America is coming up next, as usual, although it will be led by Ethan, and we'll get to more of this YouTube live chat poll. Grade Elon Musk and Doge's efforts so far. A, B, C, D, or F. Let us know what you think, and we'll see you on the other side of this break.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.